Numbers 24. Now when Balaam saw it was pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but turned his face toward the desert. Then Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered this oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are open. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Like valleys they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets. Their seed will have abundant water. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations and break their bones in pieces. With their arrows they pierce them. Like a lion they crouch and lie down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse them? May those who bless you be blessed, and those who curse you be cursed. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell the messengers you sent me, even if Balak gives me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord. And I must say only what the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in days to come. Then he uttered this oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Shep. Edom will be conquered, Seir, his enemy, will be conquered, but Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. Then Balaam saw Amalek and uttered his oracle. Amalek was first among the nations, but he will come to ruin at last. Then he saw the Kenites and uttered his oracle. Your dwelling place is secure. Your nest is set on a rock. Yet you Kenites will be destroyed when Asher takes you captive. Then he uttered his oracle. Ah, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from the shores of Kedem. They will subdue Asher and Eber, but they too will come to ruin. Then Balaam got up and returned home, and Balak went his own way.
Before I go into comments, his particular translation uses a plural pronoun. And many of you have a singular pronoun. And so we're going to focus in on that singular pronoun because in Hebrew it is a singular. It is not plural. All right? Any questions?
Which pronoun are you talking about? What verse?
In all of the readings he just read, basically, you drop down to like verse 8. And God brought him out of Egypt. He shall be strong as a wild ox. He shall consume the Goyim, his enemies. It's not a singular. It's a singular pronoun. and not a plural pronoun. In some of your translations, you're going to have that as a plural because some of the people who, all due respect, they try to put in a plural because they're thinking of the whole nation of Israel they're talking about. So when we look at this particular thing, remember I said to you last week about Balaam is actually his name is Balaam, actually in Hebrew. He was a prophet. Now remember, he only was to speak.
The words by Balaam.
All right, I want to go back a few pages here, just for a real quick refresh for those. In chapter 22, and where with verse 9, then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent me them, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they have covered the face of the earth. Come, now curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them." That's a very strong command. And we have to be very careful about what we're saying here, but I don't want to go explain this all over again. "You shall not curse the people." So what did Balaam do? He rose up and says, "By the way, I can't go. Goodbye." And they left. Of course, he came back a second time. And God said, "All right. Tell you what, verse 24, if the men come to call, rise and go with them." All right, sound like just the opposite he said before. Now remember, God is angry, irritated. But at the very same time, these scenes here, what we're seeing here, is aimed at the goyim to understand God. All right? And we have, of course, we know that Balaam did exactly the contrary. God threatened him three times. Scared him half to death, literally going to kill him if he doesn't conduct himself properly. And so now he comes in here. We have chapter 21, and the wording is quite different in the first phrase of his oracles. Verse 7 of chapter 23, and then he took up this oracle and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, has sent me from Aram. From the mountains of the east, come curse Jacob for me and come and denounce Israel." No, that's the basic oracle. In other words, that's not Balaam talking. And he turns around now. Of course, he had to say exactly what God wanted him to say. And so he did. I mean, he's just saying what God told him to say. Now, Balaam didn't have his eyes opened yet. Nor did Balaam hear yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? The second oracle, it goes to verse 18, rather. And he took up this oracle and said, "Arise, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zophar." And so he's just repeating what God says him to say. Now we come into the third time. And we're entering this one here, the 24th chapter. So I want to get a little background. Before I go into the 24th chapter, first of all, I'm going to ask you, got you guys any questions? I got 20 minutes left.
Just a guideline.
He took this oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are open." They were closed before. Now God opened up his eyes and now he sees something. A vision. Different than just hearing the words. Now he sees. And utters to him who hears the words of God. So two things are occurring here. And who sees the vision of the Almighty. That is not really seeing the Almighty, but seeing the vision the Almighty is presenting to him. So we're going to say, what is it that God actually let him see? What the vision did he see that made him say, now I hear the words, and now I see with my eyes wide open. There's not a hazy part in me. Now I know, without a doubt. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob! Now what on earth did Balaam see with his eyes wide open now? And what did he hear now with his ears completely free? And what is it that he heard from God? We have to ask ourselves some questions here. Because this is an entirely different kind of message than the first two that Balaam gave. He says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwellings, O Israel. Remember I mentioned last week, there's a distinct difference between the term when they use Jacob and the term when they use Israel. Two different terms altogether. Remember what I said last week about verse 10 of the previous chapter, verse 23? And it says there that the dust, remember I told you what dust meant? Okay, now we're coming to this point. Now we have, he says, how lovely are the tents, O Jacob, including the dust of Jacob. This is what Balaam saw. He got a vision. The vision he saw came from the eternal creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty. Now he comes back here and he says, your dwellings of Israel. You know, there's a song, a praise song that we have. I don't remember the name of it in there, but it says, how lovely are your dwellings, O Israel. I don't remember the name of the song, but it leaves out, not leaves out, this is where they kind of got it from. But sometimes when we read the Bible, we're not quite sure exactly what it's referring to. And I hope last week I made it a little bit clearer what I was referring to. Like valleys that stretch out. Okay, what valley do you think of that really stretches out on a physical world?
The Grand Canyon.
San Joaquin Valley is a mighty big valley that stretches way out. All right? I'm not saying this is what I'm referring to. We're talking about what does the valley of San Joaquin mean? Wealth of produce, abundance of produce, of different kinds and variety. And that means that the valleys of Israel is going to have an abundance of things. That's what he saw. Right. Next thing, we go in there and he says, like gardens, those valleys are like gardens by riversides. Now we have riversides, right? That's what makes a garden work. What did Balaam see? Well, I'm not saying he saw the San Joaquin Valley, but just understand what I'm saying. He saw a vision. I don't know what he saw because I wasn't there. But he saw that the abundance of the valley was so like a garden, abundance of things, and there's constant water always there. And the San Joaquin Valley is an example of a lot of water. Do we pipe it in? He says, like rivers. Like alloy plants by the Lord. Alloy is not the kind of alloy we have.
Sandalwood.
Sandalwood? It's like sandalwood, basically. It's an old, we think of here. Never mind. It's a different kind of plant. And cedar beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets. And his seed in many waters. Now some of you have the title. It says shall be. That's added. His seed will be in many waters. Now what does that mean? That's different than the valley.
Everywhere.
I'm sorry, what?
Everywhere. Is it people?
People. His seed got many waters, many areas, all over the place. And that's a prophetic statement that really took place in history, isn't it? Now, Balaam saw that. He understood that. Balaam was able to see and understand what God was. What he sees? The one now that knows. Well, later on, what is it? Knows the knowledge of the Most High. We'll get to that second oracle that he comes through. It's a little different phrase, but it's almost identical. But he has one more phrase in that one. So now we're looking here, and if we go down, his king, halfway through chapter 7, verse 7, his king shall be higher than... Higher than
Agag.
Who is Agag?
Agag, the one that Samuel slew, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Samuel slew him. Because Saul didn't. Because Saul didn't.
Okay, so what did Balaam see?
Future.
This guy did not, you're right, he saw the future. He saw way deep in the future. And the critical point in the history of Israel, he saw it at the time when God rejected Saul, and a new king was going to take place. And that was King David. Critical point in time in the history. Because of what he did not obey, he did not respond, and lo and behold, but he says now, the king will be greater than way in the future. You can look up your Bible. There's only two places that name is ever called, and that's in the King of Solomon and the second Samuel. And here. Now we know we go into, and he'll bring it up on Purim, but one of the men is a son of this guy. Or a descendant thereof, put it this way.
So he's describing the time of David.
At this point in time.
Through this?
The rejection, yes, this oracle. So we're seeing, what I'm saying is that sometimes we look at the prophecies, particular prophecies in the 24th chapter of Numbers, and we sometimes think, okay, what does it mean? And we're seeing a future, way in the future. By the time we finish the second oracle, it's all the way to the point where the kingdom of God is on this earth. This is what Balaam saw. This is what Balaam heard. And this is why he said, my eyes are open. My ears now hear the word. Yes.
Is he seeing this enough in the future that this Agag enemy, is he perceiving the coming victory over Islam?
Over the first... We'll get to the second side. Yes, Islam is included, but actually, not technically. The last one will be the first one. The last one destroyed will be the first one. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes, it will be destruction of Islam. That's something entirely different. We'll get to there on the second oracle. Hope I'm not going too fast, but I got 15 minutes left. Okay, now listen to this verse 8. God brings him, who's a him? We assume that his translation says they. God brings the king out of Egypt.
My son.
Where did he do that? Or when did he do that? No, the king, his king. Who did he bring out of Egypt?
The Messiah.
The Messiah was brought out of Egypt. Okay, we're talking about the king who is greater than the king Agag. Now Agag, not Agag, but the family of Agag was the first nation that went to war against Israel. That's why it says it's the first. It's the first of the Goyims. Not in might, not in power, not in strength, but the first that came out against and went to war. And that's written in the book of Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. Soon thereafter, leaving Egypt. All right. It's a fascinating story to understand how God thinks here. He's a very interesting being, I think. Let's go on to the next one. And he, this one he brings out of Egypt, he has the strength of a wild ox. He shall consume the Goyims his enemies. Now that's a real hard. We're talking about the nations that are against him. And this prophecy, the second section of the prophecy, names the nations that are his enemy. Names them. And he shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrow. His bow, bows down. He lies down like a lion, ready to creep or leech at a lion who is going to arouse him. Don't bother this guy. He's going to tear you apart. He's going to eat you. You come along and irritate him, he's going to attack you. The lion is representation of, we call it now, you know, king of the jungle, king of the beast, because of its nature of the beast. So, with that being said, let's go on to verse 14. Verse 15. Let's go to verse 15. Now, when you look at verse 15, I want you to also look at verse 15 and 16. I want you to look at also 3 and 4 at the same time. It's almost identical in wording. Then he took up the oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are open, the utterance of a man who hears the words of the Eternal and knows the knowledge of the Most High. It's a different phrase there, isn't it? Now, leave out the word who, because it's not listed there. Sees a vision of the Almighty, falls down with his eyes wide open. Now, as we're talking about, the Balaam now is saying, I am submitting myself 100%. Okay? That did cost Balaam his life. I don't remember if it was the book of Judges, the book of Joshua, but somewhere in there, it did cost him his life because of what he did. Which this book does not tell you what he did. The book of Judges, the book of Joshua told you what he did underhandedly. But that's something that Daniel will reach when that time comes. He said, now, verse 17, I see him, but not now. Who is he saying that he sees, but it's not now, not here yet, it's not coming yet. He has not yet been driven or came out of Egypt yet. We're still talking about that king, aren't we?
Same king.
The same king. Now, it's very fascinating. This is what Balaam says. I now know the knowledge of the Most High. I know what he is telling me. I got the knowledge from the Most High. I know. Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
Now, let's go on here. Now, where am I? Behold him, but not now, and this word, a star shall come out of Jacob. A star. Let me ask you a question. Was there ever a star? Where was the star located? In the heavens above. I told this to her last. What's Wednesday? When were you coming? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, Carrie. You know, I told her. I says, you know, I started looking up in the heavens. You know, growing up. Oh, they're just out there. They're scattered. Well, they swim up there, right? Yeah, okay. But what's more important? What we do on this earth, right? No. There's a very fascinating thing, and the things that I am reading and researching. Now I have to tell you that by God through Carrie is showing me what he wants me to see. I did not know certain things about stars. They move. Literally move. I didn't know that. And the fascinating thing about stars, when you look at a constellation long enough, not long enough in time, there the star appears in the constellation, and then maybe 20, 50 years later, it disappears. It's gone. Never comes back. And we, of course, our scientific, brilliant world, what do we think it is?
Burned
it burned out.
Or they say that it was born and it died.
Born and it died. Whatever illusionist thing. You know? See, we have, since we are set in the world of physics,
right,
our world is based upon one thing, time. And because our world is based on time, We are in the world of time, and therefore we say the nearest star is what, 900 light years away? We have this vision because of evolutionary concept, because we as human beings, because we are a being, a human, we see things on a human plane. We have to see ourselves out of this human plane and up into the plane of the eternal. He says what? My thoughts are what? Higher than yours. Where are your thoughts? On this earth. The concept that God actually and truly created all the stars all at once at the same exact precise moment on the fourth day is unheard of. Wait a minute, we're talking about traveling of light. What does that got to do with God? God can bring forth light anytime He wants. He doesn't have to travel with it. He just, there it is, it came from the existing one. All right, so we look at these things. Now, I have shown this one research about the star. When the Magi saw the star move, what direction did that star move?
From the east to the west?
To the west. Listen carefully. There's documented points at that point in time that there was a star, a physical star out there that moved and headed west. Not kind of up and down. So wait a minute, why would God do that? Then I had to stop and think, and I told Carrie, wait a minute. We know that the sun and the planets, our solar system, goes in a clockwise direction. The whole in and around a particular star. What star does it go around? The pulsar, the North Star. North Star stands perfectly still. They've taken a time lapse right at the North Star, and all the stars go around it, and it doesn't move. Okay? Now, to come back to this thing about the star. What did Jesus say? When you see the sign in heaven of my coming, it will be like what? Lightning. Lightning. Quick, fast, and sudden. You will see in the stars above. We say, well, I know he's figuratively speaking. He's not really speaking. He's going to be, you know, he'll land his feet. Well, yeah, Mount of Olives. Where does he come from? He says, as the light travels from east to west, or in a translation in Greek, as the lightning travels from east to west. We know light doesn't travel east to west. We know light travels from east to west. Don't we? I hope we do. And so did Balaam see. He saw this star. Now, this is not the star of his birth. He's a star come out of Jacob, which in a sense was his birth. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab. Now, may I ask you, did Jesus, his first coming, come along and batter the brow of Moab? No. So what is Balaam seeing? He's seeing the king coming and hit the head, hit the right spit, take a rod, might say, and hit him right across the brow of the eyes. You know, hey, Moab, don't you know who I am? This is a fascinating statement. Now go in a little farther and destroy all the sons of turmoil. And Edom, here's the Ellie. Okay, listen to these words. Verse 18. Edom shall be a possession. I get that one. Seir also, his enemy, shall be a possession. Now, tell me, why are those two names listed? We know who Edom is. Who is he? He was Esau, right? Son of Jacob.
Isn't that Turkey?
Sir, what?
Is Edom Turkey?
No, we're taking just Esau. Wait a minute. And you remember the prophecy that said about the younger will rule over the elder. Prophetically speaking, that's what we're seeing here. Where did this star come out of? The younger. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? The younger, that is Jacob, the star comes out of the younger one, and he's going to rule over the older one. It's not that Jacob, the man, or Jacob, the Israel, the country, will in a sense rule over. It's the king who will rule. The one that comes out of Jacob will rule over Edom. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not, I hope it's not too hard. I got 5 minutes. Where am I at now? Now, Seir. Esau married a Canaanite and married a Ishmaelite.
Esau?
An Ishmaelite.
Married Ishmael's daughter.
Right.
Okay, Beth.
Now, we know that Ishmaelites are of the family, or Arab family, right? Who is the family of Edom?
Esau.
He married a Canaanite woman. So we have two groups of people here. And they're going to become what? A possession. Yes, Ellie.
Moab is in Jordan.
Moab is in Jordan. But Moab's going to get hit across the brow.
Because Jordan claims to be the Heshemite kingdom.
Correct.
The head of the Heshemite kingdom.
And so it's really not a big threat to him. He's going to take a 2x4.
But that's the head.
That's the head. Okay. We understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think it's exciting. This chapter is one of the most exciting chapters in all the book of Numbers. Yes.
My version, the Jewish Jewish Bible, says to crush the corners of Moab and destroy all descendants of Shet, S-H-E-T.
Right. It means Trumol, the ones that are in defiance against the causing trouble.
Oh, huh.
Okay.
Isn't Shet a person?
Huh? Shet a person, Seth.
I have to look that up because it probably is true, but literally translated from Hebrew as a word, and it could be true, but I don't know. I'm just saying it's tumult. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, where am I at now? Keep on down. Verse 19. Out of Jacob, one, meaning a king, shall have dominion and destroy the remnants of the city. I'm not quite sure what city that is. I've looked in vain trying to figure out what that one was. So that's one of the mysteries. I don't have an answer to that one. If you've got an answer, let me have it. Now, it could be.
Mine actually has a name. It's R. A-R?
A-R?
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting. Let's find out what city that is. Maybe it's in the book of Judges. Anyway, I was more amazed about this other one of Agag. Okay, I got to tell you something. Where's black? I don't normally do this. Agag is spelled an Aleph and a Gimel. I did some research. You know where they think that name came from? No, I'm sorry. An olive? Whoops. A gimel? An olive. No, Daniel. What is that?
It's our name.
It's our name. I thought that was kind of hilarious when I saw that. And I said, okay, I can look that word up. So I went closer, look up the word AG. It doesn't really, it's not a name. It means, it means a person who is from the high hill. AG means the high hill. The other one means a mountain. So it's kind of interesting, but we're done about hillbillies. But I thought that was kind of funny when I read that. And I said, oh, man, that's unbelievable. These people don't trust me anymore.
I'm glad you got that clarification.
Yeah, clarification now there. Yeah. Okay, I'm almost finished here. And he took Verse 29. He took on Amalek, and he took up this oracle. And he looked on Amalek. I don't know where he could see him, but basically. Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes. He's going to be the last one there, but he's going to perish. Very fascinating phrase. Now he goes on about the Kenites. And he said to them, from their dwelling place, you are nest in a rock. Nevertheless, Cain, I don't know what that, when that was, where that's at, shall be bruised. And how long will Asher carry you away? Now, where's Asher today? Nope. Where's it? Is it where?
Assyria.
Where is Assyria today?
Syria.
No.
A little further east.
Iraq?
Yeah. Northern part of Iraq is Assyria. What group of people live there?
Kurds.
The Turks.
Kurds.
And they're going to go where? Against? Who are they going to fight against?
Canaanites.
And where are the Canaanites?
Southern.
They're where?
Southern Iraq? I don't know.
No. They're in Turkey. The old country of Turkey is that. We don't know that. I mean, we ignore that today because another group of people, or maybe the same ones, still live there. Now, Turks are known for their crumble violent way of fighting.
Hatred of Kurds.
Yeah.
Well, that whole situation is
seeming
up right now. The Kurds
are
trying to create their own...
Right, yeah. I'm just thinking, we look at this prophecy, we're seeing deep information. We're seeing way in the future. Where am I at now? Because we're talking about that, but that Messiah coming down here, and he's going to do about the city, and then he's going to also, Amalek, the first, he'll also be given last. He's the last one to perish. And, of course, it says, who shall live when God does these things? You know, it's a big, major thing. The ships are going to come. There's a lot of war going to take up place here. It's going to be the hands of the Messiah. And they shall afflict Asher and afflict Ebar. And so shall, in my translation, it says Amalek until he perishes. Now, the word Amalek has a meaning. And Jeff used that in his words. But it means that he or that one, the last one, he is going to perish. And Amalek is the last one. It's just the word meaning the last one. He is the last one. Amalek is the last one. It's a little interesting phrase. Because it was the first one attacked. And it's going to be the last one to be destroyed. How big it is today, I don't know where it's at. I'm not even going to try to guess where it could be. I think God knows those things. Well, my time has passed. Before I close, though, I want to do one more thing. Daniel had this thing that he wanted, so I'm going to use it. What is that? Israel. Do you know what that name means?
Struggles.
Huh?
He struggles with God.
Struggles with God and struggles with man. As a prince. As a prince. Struggles. He becomes a prince with God. He becomes a prince with man. It's a very fascinating word. And so when we, quote, want to take on the name of Israel, what did he say? I want to make you kings and priests. A double thing. You can be king and you can be priest. Priest is in relationship to El. And to man, it's Ish. That's the word for a man is Ish. Ish and Isha. So he's going to be king or prince. It's a fascinating word to understand what you say. And what do we call the Messiah? Prince of Peace. And one's going to come out of Israel, or out of Jacob, as Scripture says, and have dominion. All right, that's mine for today.